Our guest is Jeffrey C. Hunt, the new executive director, CEO, and president of the Columbia County Chamber of Commerce.
Taking over from Dave Colby, who I believe we interviewed here in the past.
That's right.
Who went to Florida, I think.
Or he moved to Florida. Yeah. So, Jeffrey, we're happy to have you here. Well,
thanks for having me.
What's your background in, how does one become a head of a chamber of commerce? What's the kind of background you need for that kind of job?
It varies. I was introduced to chamber work in Detroit, Michigan. That's my hometown. I was a part of Leadership Detroit, which was sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce there, the Detroit Regional Chamber. I happened to run for state rep I don't want to give my age, a while back, and lost. And the chamber, I was one candidate that had the support of the business community, the papers, and the unions. And so the chamber president sort of recognized my skill sets. He heard about me from Leadership Detroit, and there was a public policy position open, and he asked me to help lead his public policy team. So my first foray into chamber work was with the Detroit Regional Chamber while senior director of regional public policy.
And from Detroit to here, or a lot of steps in the way?
Well, to be brief, if I may, after college, graduating from Howard University, I worked on Capitol Hill for a year, then went back to the city of Detroit and worked on this for the central staff for Detroit City Council for about 8 years. Went through Leadership Detroit, ran for state rep, and about a year later started working for the Detroit Regional Chamber. Went back to city government to help them rewrite their rules of basically the city's bylaws, which is the charter. And then the mayor appointed me to cable commission chairman. And I did that for 6 years. Then later, both of my parents lived in Detroit. They retired, but they relocated to North Carolina. In about 2009, my dad took sick, and I moved when he passed to be closer to my mom. And I still had a love for chamber work, and the position became available in Spring Lake. And I was the president and CEO there, and did that for about 5.5 years, and found this opportunity here at Columbia County.
So, obviously, you always liked or were interested in public policy. But I guess being a chamber, involved with the chamber is the way to kind of bridge public and private aspects of things?
Well, traditionally, chambers exist primarily to help cities and counties grow and towns grow. So throughout the United States and the world, for that matter, you usually have a chamber somewhere.
Mm-hmm. But they're usually funded privately, right?
They're funded privately. Yeah. So, for example, in Detroit, our budget was over $20 million. We had over 100 employees. We had different divisions. We had an insurance division, public policy division, events team, marketing, and a sales team. And so, yes, you do intersect with government because primarily chambers exist to do some of the work that the business community cannot do on its own and some of the work that the government may not feel that they're ready to do, if you will. So my public policy background sort of positioned me for that. And then later there are several avenues to be a chamber exec. I worked to get my certified chamber executive designation through the Association of American Chamber of Commerce Executives. And so I'm certified as a Chamber of Commerce executive. So behind my name is the CCE, and that's what that stands for. Mm-hmm. And it primarily means you can run a chamber of any size.
So when you decide to apply for the job up here from North Carolina,
yes,
it's a big change from Midwest to South to upstate New York.
Yes, I'm doing a tour.
Where are you living?
I'm living here in Hudson.
Oh, okay. And did you, like, check out the county before you moved? I mean, did you, like, were we on trial at some point for whether you could, or did you just figure this is an opportunity regardless of where it is?
Well, to be fair and honest, I did interview several other regions, mostly in the South. I felt I'd led my chamber as far as I could could lead it. I wanted to. We were a small town chamber in a rural area similar to this. City was the size of about 14,000 people, but I wanted to advance my skill sets and represent a county.
Mm-hmm.
And so I interviewed a couple places before here, but I'm one of those people who have to, I must immerse myself in the community. So when I came to interview, I flew into Albany. I took the train in, and wanted to experience it for how people come to visit this area. And so I feel that the community chose me. The challenges that the board wanted me to take on, I felt I was prepared and equipped to do. And I'm just excited to be here.
What were some of those challenges that they outlined for you?
Well, primarily they want me to grow membership. At some point, I believe the chamber had as many as 1,000 members.
Mm-hmm. And what's it have now?
We're just under 750.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some loss of membership because of the Affordable Care Act.
You mean just because they can't afford to buy in anymore? Or?
Well, no. Now a sole proprietor has to go through the exchange. And then there's exchange available, so they don't have to go through a chamber to purchase their insurance options.
Oh, I didn't know that was one of the things chamber offered.
Business people used to join because of the health insurance.
I didn't know right. that.
And that's what you're referring to, I guess.
Is there a special challenge when you're a chamber in a community that has a large sort of so-called creative community? And is that... Do they become part of this, or are they kind of a separate category that doesn't really engage with a commerce?
That was one of the reasons I was attracted to this area. I wanted to be in a community that embraced the creative class. The Richard Florida book, The Rise of the Creative Class, is a guiding principle for me. And so that was an attraction for me.
And they have separate challenges, right? I mean, they have greater, different needs than a more conventional business, or do they?
Well, when you look at it in the context of a business, some of the challenges are the same. How they derive at some of their issues may be different. But the other thing that attracted me was the low unemployment rate. But some of the challenges here is that employers are saying the workforce needs some additional training.
Yeah.
Definitely. You hear that all the time.
Transportation mm-hmm. is an issue.
If you could solve that.
Broadband is an issue.
Well, that's what I'd say. Mm-hmm. Broadband is definitely an issue. Are you connected to the whole development through the county legislature? What's going on there in terms of the broadband initiative?
I'm familiar. The day I started, the governor announced the first round of funding.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I told my board jokingly, I saw that problem. What's next? but there's still a process to go through. And I've offered my services from my experience as the chair of the Detroit Cable Commission. And so I've talked to the chair of the Columbia County Economic Development Corporation, Tony Jones, and Mike Tucker, and Chairman Morrell about how I could be of assistance to this effort.
I've been curious about this whole broadband initiative and how important in it is the provider that seems to dominate, at least in Hudson, Mid-Hudson Cable. I mean, do they have to be part of the initiative in any way? Or are they? I mean, is it possibly that other providers come in? I mean, do you have to stick with the whole thing? Seems very confusing.
Well, I think it is confusing because there is a litany of providers in Columbia County. And even some parts of what I understand, even I met with Mid-Hudson Cable, there are parts of Hudson that they don't cover because it's covered by another provider.
Mm-hmm.
So the most important thing is to get the maps to see where the fiber is and where the node system is so they can move data through the different node systems.
So in other words, it's more about building up that infrastructure of the fiber, and the provider itself is kind of an after issue?
Well, from my understanding, the way the governor is providing the funding is going to the provider.
Mm-hmm.
And so the provider has to be involved
in that, yeah.
Now, the issue is a lot of where their infrastructure is proprietary. And so turning that over to a government agency... in the provider's mind is not always in their best interest.
Sure.
So that's some of the challenges that I believe the individuals with Connect Columbia and the board of supervisors are challenged with.
So, and that of course affects all kinds of business, because, you know, especially the so-called creative community needs the internet a lot, because that's how they sort of, a lot of them are, let's say, graphic designers or something, that's all very much internet based, and they deal with clients who aren't nearby.
Correct.
What are some of the challenges with the more bricks and mortar buildings, businesses in Columbia County?
I think we talked a little bit about it. Transportation.
Mm-hmm. You mean transportation for them to get their product out, or for bringing
for
in
for them
employees,
to get the workers in? You know, you have this is a massive county geographically, and so
it continues to amaze me, being a Hudsonian, and where everything's sort of concentrated, and then just to go over, you know, a couple towns and realizing there are many people with huge properties. They're very small populations out in some of these towns that are geographically quite large, and we're just the opposite here. You know, we're concentrated in 2.5 square miles.
2.5 square miles and densely populated with buildings and people.
Right.
And you have another 600 or so, 100 miles that's sparsely populated.
Right.
So moving goods and services, I think they've solved that pretty much. The highway system is pretty good for that.
Mm-hmm.
But getting workers to the jobs is a problem. So,
are you liking living in Hudson?
I do.
Pretty cool place.
It is. It's lively during the weekend. I think that was one of the things when I interviewed. I caught a jazz concert at Helsinki that night that I came in.
Good way to start.
So I don't know if you guys were showing off to sort of recruit me, but thanks for doing it.
Well, I'll let you know. At 7 o'clock, that young, gorgeous woman out there has a show called The Jazz Disturbance. That is Cheryl Kay. I'm pointing to folks. And you should listen at 7. She has a great jazz show right here on our channel.
Okay. I love jazz music.
Yeah.
90.7 FM.
She just started. that's our main jazz show. So you like Hudson. I know what I want to say. So does a chamber, you're not necessarily concerned with economic development in terms of bringing new business into the county, are you? Is that part of your agenda, or is that more like Mike Tucker's purview?
Well, we work closely together.
Yeah.
Chambers always have a role in economic development. It's Mike's job to really, I'm going to use industry terms, to seek out the whales and bring the industry into town.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times when site selection professionals, they've already made their decision. They've narrowed it down to 2 or 3 places before they hit the ground to whether they want to locate in your area.
Uh-huh.
And then the CEO of the company or CFO or some high-level management, they may want anecdotal stories about how's the business climate in the community. And so chambers are a great resource for that, because we have industry leaders in our area that we can connect them to. So we work very closely together.
And they can come to you and ask, like, statistical questions about local business, all that kind of stuff?
Demographic questions, connecting them to different business leaders, different industries, and the like. So
given the change in the Affordable Care Act, how that affected you, how do you see developing, you know, increasing membership? How can you do that?
It's ironic that you asked that. I just presented my first budget to the executive committee this morning, which is why I'm a little drained, if you will, because it was an arduous process to prepare it. But our focus in 2017 is on member engagement, member recruitment, and member retention. And so we want to give our members a return on their investment, that they understand why they joined the chamber. And so we're, just for example, on November 17th at 5 o'clock at VCO, we're relaunching the Young Professionals. And it was something that I thought was important for us to do as a chamber, because we do have a lot of millennials here in the area. And we want not just to be a social networking thing or a networking thing, but we also want to provide them with professional development opportunities. And so we have a steering committee that I met with the other day. And we also, I charged them with coming up with a community project to take part of. And one of the things that I promised to them that I will work with our nonprofit community to see where there were openings to serve on their boards and advisory committees.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an events committee, a membership committee, a new group we call a business referral group. So, you know, just in a short while that I've been here, we've sort of given the membership more opportunities to be engaged with the chamber. And so I think that will be an attracting force for us to recruit new membership and to retain the ones that we have now.
Yeah, I think what you'll find, my experience with, especially with people I know in the professions and the so-called creative, I hate the phrase creative community, that's why I keep saying so-called, but in the so-called creative community, a lot of them do want to be more engaged with other things in the city. They would like to help young people learn new skills, you know, learn what they do, the opportunities that are beyond conventional bricks and mortar building, you know, businesses. Because there are a lot of those opportunities here, and making that connection is not always easy. You know, there's certain boundaries you'll find in Hudson, for example, especially with the minority population, to bring them into what's happening here, you know, in terms of jobs, for one thing.
The one thing that I've known and I've learned about millennials is that they will locate to a community that they like even without having a job.
Yeah.
And because they look plenty for the quality of life.
Right, there's plenty of that.
And so, you know, I'm a little bit older than millennial, Gen X, if you will. And, you know, when we get out of school, graduate from college, your parents are telling you to go get a job, and then you pick
where the job is.
You go where the job is. So they have a little more freedom and flexibility, which is why the broadband issue, because a lot of them, the nature of belonging and gathering to them is different, and they're technology driven. And so that's why it's important to have that as a backbone for us to keep that millennial group attracted to our area.
I just met a young woman who's working in one of the coffee shops, and she's a comics artist, and she's developed a website that she's trying to monetize in various ways. But, you know, you encounter people like that who, you know, aren't going to really step into the conventional business community here, but really are trying to do something that could use the help of somebody who knows how to get your business out there.
Mm-hmm.
How do people reach? I mean, is there a flat fee to be a member of the Commerce, or is it prorated according to something or some other?
There's a flat fee, and 304 is our lowest tier of membership.
Mm-hmm.
From 1 to 2 employees. We're changing the structure a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you get so much more in return. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you... And one of the things that we're going to be doing with new members is taking them through Chamber 101, how to maximize your membership. Because we offer a lot of programs for our members, but if they don't take them and utilize them, they go, well, what did I get for my investment? If you utilize the products and benefits that we have, you'll receive a return that far exceeds your membership investment.
Does the chamber have an obligation to promote businesses outside the community? I mean, for tourism? Are they involved in promoting tourism?
Well, we're not a tourism promotion agency. Mm-hmm. The county has a tourism department, mm-hmm. and they're responsible for the promotion. So they work with I Love New York, and they have ads in New York City and on in Amtrak stations and the like. However, we're a visitor center, so we see a lot of the visitors, and that's the forgotten stool, if you will. If you look at it as a four-legged stool, the visitor experience. A lot of people plan their trips by going on the internet, but then we get a lot of people come from the train who walk to our office, which is because it's right up
for
the street.
For those who don't know, it's right in the old fire station, right on Front Street.
Yeah.
One
North Front Street. And they're asking us about, well, you know, about the businesses on Warren Street. What is there to do in Hudson? A lot of them are planning to go to Alana, but they want to know what else to do throughout the county. So But we don't really get a lot of support for that visitor service, you know.
And it's not open on weekends, is it?
We're not open on weekends. Yeah.
You know, so, I protested that with the chamber a couple of years ago. I was a supervisor at the time, and I've been very involved in tourism in various ways. But I thought, can't you just be open on weekend in the summertime? And they did do it that one year, but I don't know if it went beyond.
We're working with Columbia County Tourism to see if we can fix that.
Yeah.
And we're meeting with the destination locations, Alana's, Martin Van Buren Museum, Fasney, and others, to see if we can fix that. Because what happens, some of the businesses on Warren Street become the de facto welcoming center.
Right.
On the weekend. You hear
it
all the
time. Everybody is a tourism.
Right. Where should I have lunch? Where should I have dinner?
Exactly. And there are days when the businesses aren't open as much, and people come to town and say, where can I have lunch? And you can point them to like one or two places maybe, if they're in the city I'm mm-hmm. talking about.
Have you ever had someone ask you how to get to Alana without, if they've come by train?
Always. Which is that, which
taxi.
The issue is, again, and for some of them come up from the city, from New York City by train, the nearest rental car place is in Greenport.
Yeah.
So we're working on trying to get mm-hmm. a drop-off point near the train station. I met with the regional leaders of Chambers, Saratoga, Cap Region, Fulton, Montgomery the other day. And I think we're going to be working in collaboration to see if we can get Uber here. And that may alleviate some of the transportation issues. But, yeah, we get people every day asking, how do you get to Alana? When is it open? And a lot of people go directly to Alana's website and plan their trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have they're planning a visitor center as well.
I know. But, there's also apparently a rumor that they're going to try to subsidize taxi cab drives to there. Come up with one of the local taxi companies, a flat rate so that, you know, they could, that would be subsidized so they can get people up there. That's just something I heard.
That'd be great.
But those are the kind of issues, yeah, that I wondered about.
And those are the kind of issues that the chamber is, you know, a catalyst for, because one business will not take that on. Even though Alana's trying to fix that problem for them, but the idea is to fix the problem for the other destination locations as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be filling that role in 2017. So
great.
Well, we've been talking to Jeffrey C. Hunt.
That's right.
The new CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. What's his full title, Alan? Is that the full title?
CEO and President.
And President.
Or President and CEO. Yeah.
Columbia County Chamber.
Or just Jeff.
And what's your online address if you want to check it out?
Oh, www.columbiachamber-newyorkny.com.
And if you're local here in Hudson or stopping in Hudson, you can always visit down at 1 North Front Street, the old fire station there that the city wisely bought at one point.
That's right.
Instead of, they kept it rather than selling
it. They kept it rather than selling
it.
We used to have all of our fire stations were open and were consolidated at a certain point, mm-hmm. except for one that's left on Warren Street.
One that just wouldn't give in.
That's right.
And then they were gonna sell the one that the chamber is in, and somebody wanted to put a bakery in there, I believe, but
no, they wanted to put an ice cream.
Oh, an ice cream, okay.
Store.
Well, wiser heads prevailed.
Anyway. Omar Sosa is at Helsinki tonight. Just so you know,
there's a jazz band on Saturday.
Known and hailed for his singular blend of Latin jazz and African diaspora music. There you go.
Yeah, I just saw the Paul Carlson
trio.
Paul Carlin.
Yeah.
Carlin.
Yeah.
At the Opera House Saturday. So you may see me at Helsinki tonight.
Hey.
Well, I don't, but I think Alan's looking for a date.
Maybe I'll see you there.
See? I wasn't kidding. Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming in. That's really, I've always been kind of curious about the Chamber of Commerce.
Tom making all kind of hookups, huh?
Yeah. Jeffrey C. Hunt, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Come back and later on, and we can get a full report on how these going? Programs are going.
Yeah, welcome.
Sure, I would love to.
It's only been how long now? A month?
Just over 100 days.
Okay.
So I asked my board if I can do a six-month listening tour. So I was a little frightful when you asked me to come on the radio show because I want to do more listening than talking. But I've enjoyed my experience here. Thank you so much for your thoughtful questions.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.